Hey, this is Taylor.
This is Jake.
And this is Dan.
And this is Unicorn Finders, where we are on the search to illuminate the elusive unicorn factor in everyday people, businesses, and relationships. Hope you enjoy.
All right, what's going on, everybody? Good morning. Happy Thursday from a very snowy. We have 6 inches of snow on the ground, Muhammad, in Nashville, by the way. And it is 27 degrees outside. Dan, what's the weather like in Tampa?
Well, it's not snowed in Tampa since 1978 or 79, but it's a little chilly. It's a little chilly. Shout out to me. My birthday's on Saturday.
There you go.
55 on Saturday.
There you go. Dan, yeah. What are you doing for your birthday? Are you going golfing?
No, I wanted to, but, just a little bit of this, a little bit of that, you know.
I hear you. Well, that's
all the crowd's interested in.
Exactly. So we are here with our new friend, Muhammad, from the Great White North up in Canada. Muhammad, thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. So Muhammad was a referral from Kelly Vaughn. Kelly, if you watch this now in the future, thank you for, again, being such an advocate for us. We appreciate you. For those of you who are tuning in now or in the future, I want to give you a quick background about what Unicorn Finders is. Unicorn Finders is essentially just a podcast to highlight companies doing really cool shit that you probably haven't heard of yet, just to be totally honest. I told Muhammad that's our unofficial slogan. It's slowly becoming our official slogan. So today we have Muhammad on. So Muhammad, kick it off, man. Quick background just about you, your background with Shopify, and then let's dive into what Gadget is.
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Muhammad Hashemi. I have been kind of working in tech for, I'd say, 20 years, product management primarily. Used to work in kind of financial services, so payment processing and online payment processing and, you know, fraud analysis and that kind of stuff. Those were the types of products I would build. At Shopify, I started off as a product manager and kind of built out Shopify Payments, which is their in-house payment processing solution that most of the merchants use. And gradually over time, my role changed and I was overseeing the financial services team there, which was responsible for many products. So Shopify Capital, the lending product of the company, Shop Pay, the one-click checkout, the checkout itself. And a bunch of ancillary products as well. So I was running that division of the company for a little while. After that, I did some consulting and met my co-founder. Well, I'd met my co-founder at Shopify, but we revisited each other, around 2019. And he had an idea for a company that eventually turned into Gadget. And it basically started off with a pretty batshit conversation where he came out.
We love that.
I have a framework that can scale any software to infinity. And normally, if a developer says that, you kind of dismiss them. But Harry was actually responsible for scaling a lot of Shopify's core infrastructure. And so when Harry says it, you kind of pause and you listen a little bit. And I wasn't doing anything at the time. So figured, you know, let's just get up and go to his house every day and debate this crazy idea of his. And we did that for, frankly, like 6 months. And born out of that was Gadget. So what is Gadget? Gadget is our answer to why building web software feels and is so slow. So we believe that for the majority of the web software we see today, specifically if we're talking about business software, B2B software, there are clear patterns that the tools developers use miss the mark on wholly. So for example, they have front ends and back ends and databases, and you need all these extraneous tools to build them. And they're often, creating records in a database in a very specific way. The user interfaces are typically tables and forms and lists and galleries and Kanbans and calendars. They don't actually have the diversity that people think they do. They're typically fancy spreadsheets on the cloud. And yet the tools we use to build these are the same tools we use to build any other software. And they're the same tools we use 10 years ago and often 15 and 20 years ago and so on. And so how is that? It makes no sense. What we're trying to do with Gadget is take all of these disparate tools, libraries, and practices and smash them together in a single product. And in doing so, we can prove that the whole is much greater than the sum of the parts, because we can solve a lot of the pesky problems developers waste their time with in terms of like connecting different infrastructure, connecting libraries, connecting to third-party APIs, just glue code everywhere that consumes like 70% of your time. Sure. That kind of disappear and then let you focus your time on the 30% that's left that's not the glue. So that's what Gadget is. It is a full stack JavaScript development and hosting platform. It is where you build the front end and back end of your app, or at least the parts that are not entirely boilerplate and competitive. But it is also the place where you host and scale the application. Our framework effectively allows us to offload that responsibility off your plate. Once you build your app with us, we can just kind of take over and run it for you and scale it for you, similar to how we kind of used to scale software at Shopify. So that is what Gadget is today, the fastest way for a JavaScript web app developer to build what they have in mind.
So how there you go.
Right, have you said that awesome. Before?
Have you worked on that? That was awesome.
That's pretty good. So I'm not an IT guy. I work in IT. I play an IT guy on TV is what I tell people.
Same.
So understand what you're doing. Understand why you did it. There's this part of the circle in the middle there called how. Like how are you guys able to create this? Because it seems like an unbelievable solution that could help hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of businesses.
Yeah, seriously.
How and why isn't
doesn't it exist already? Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, one, the ambition is wild, right? Like most of these disparate systems I'm talking about are entire companies, right? Like there's an army of people building a database company and an army of people building Vercel, which is like a hot front-end hosting framework of the day, and an army building Supabase and so on. And so anytime someone wants to build a bundle product, I would call this, they're playing a very dicey game, which is how fast can I go and stitch enough of the important parts of the bundle together so that it's meaningful to my user? Because until you have enough, it really is a weird product, right? Like you almost like having a half an ear. Like, can you hear with half an ear, dude? You need a full ear.
My wife says I have no ears because I don't listen, but that's a thing.
No, like, so that's
retweet, Jackie.
And so a lot of people just shy away from these types. Shopify itself is this type of rug. Before Shopify, you had to online store, back end, CRM, order management, shipping, fulfillment, tax calculation. And then this guy shows up and like stitches these 15 companies together really, really quickly. And it's like, here's a platform that now makes the weird problem of these things talking to each other melt away and you can go that much faster. So ambition is one reason why a lot of people kind of shy away from this. I think the other thing is like, there is a technical challenge that I believe we are able to overcome because we saw a very similar problem when working at Shopify. Where Shopify had a very similar architecture where it's like millions of arbitrary developers of different skill levels are actually writing code against Shopify's database. And Shopify come up with a very, very clever way for how to allow that to happen. And so I think a lot of like our insights are informed from our experiences of scaling very similar software at this kind of mega company. And it just occurred to us that we can kind of take a framework, enhance it in a few ways, and turn it into a very different product. So I believe that Harry specifically played an interesting role at Shopify where he worked between all the layers that typically exist in software, front end, back end, database, so on and so forth. And it is because of his unique experience across all those layers that we have an easier time kind of stitching them together, which is what we're effectively doing as a company. So I'm just generally a believer that like companies like this are born a little bit out of like luck and a little bit out of like the right person finding the right problem. And in this case, I think my CTO has found his problem, the problem that he's actually perfect for solving.
Hey, what's your website? I want to throw it up in the bottom real quick.
Yeah, just gadget.dev.
Awesome.
So gadget.dev. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, perfect. Awesome. So How do you guys make money? Are you guys making money yet?
Yeah, so we spent, like, Gadget V1 is not done yet, but it's a multi-year build, and obviously we need validation to make sure we're on the right path, and the best validation is money and not people nodding on a call. And so we started billing people kind of early-ish last year, slowly, not really going to market, but just letting them punch in their cards. And we have a few hundred people paying us and a few thousand people using the product regularly to build business software, mostly agencies, like I may have mentioned before, kind of doing like custom software for e-commerce brands where they're building a lot of these different applications that need to talk to third-party APIs and have all the same parts. And Gadget kind of makes that super easy for them. So the way we make money is per project, there's a fee, and that includes a certain amount of hosting. And if your project gets bigger, you'd buy more hosting. So kind of like Vercel. This is developer pricing, right? Like it can only ever be pay as you go, or else
the
developer would ever buy it. And so you pay for API calls and you pay for data storage effectively.
So, and again, it's like Dan said, both Dan and I play IT people on TV. So realistically, I could... If let's say I'm a small boutique software agency and I'm trying to consolidate everything and just try to iterate faster on projects, like trying to turn out more projects, could I hypothetically get rid of everything, purchase Gadget, have everything taken care of, and the only thing we got to worry about is writing code?
Yep. That's the point. So
I mean, this sounds, I can't really poke any holes,
Taylor.
In this.
He said that the first 7 minutes. Of the
monologue. I understand. I'm just trying to wrap my brain around.
It doesn't sound like you understand.
Here's the reason it's really compelling for an agency specifically. There's two parts. It's like when I'm building, I get to build 5 to 10 times faster if the use case is B2B web app. Gadget is not for business to consumer, mobile apps. We're just talking about business software on the internet. If your use case is business software on the internet, Gadget will help you go 5 times faster. Presumably that means higher margins, right? Like you don't do hourly billing, you do project billing, you keep some of the money, you pass some of the savings on to your client. So that's kind of win number one. But win number two, which for agencies is even bigger, is what you're talking about, which is once I'm done, because it was done in Gadget's framework, Gadget is serverless everything. So the front end we scale like Vercel does it for you. The back end we scale like you would normally have to do yourself. The database we scale like Supabase would normally do it for you. Your queries, and this is very unique to Gadget, and it's very much born out of the design of our framework. Like even the queries you write against your database, we can automatically keep them performant because you write certain way that allows us to read them before we run them, and we do some magic for you behind the scenes that I won't get into. And so what that effectively final piece of that is all of the underlying APIs your project is connected to, we upgrade those for you as well. So Shopify, if you're building a Shopify app, every year they send an email saying you must update the API version. You're on a deprecated version. And if you're an agency, you've got 200 projects, you're getting 200 emails a year saying update 200 old projects, no new money. Just like go update those old projects or else they'll break. And so that's value proposition number two. It's like agency, you can move on to the next one and not be bogged down by like this buildup of old projects kind of in. And so, yeah, it's an app studio similar to an agency. I would get that value as well. Yes.
That's awesome.
Wow. That's really cool. So what's next for you guys as you continue to grow, obviously bringing new customers and everything else, but where, what's like, is there a limit to what you guys could potentially offer? Or is it just, obviously there's an infinite number of new technologies coming out, databases, APIs, everything else. So there's always going to be that chase, but where does it go or grow from here? I mean, it sounds like an incredible product. And we do a year in review at the end of the year where we talk about like coolest companies. So far for 2024, you're number one.
You're number one. So far, you're also going to be a hard one to...
It's January 18th, guys. I'm not falling for this.
There's still been people before you. I hope they're not listening. But no, I mean, it just sounds incredible. So talk to me a little bit about like what's the future look like?
So what we did initially for go-to-market was we connected our full stack builder hoster thingy to the Shopify API. And so as in like we built that connection ourselves because the Shopify API has its own nasty problems. And we went to market with them. So Shopify agencies, Shopify app developers, Shopify freelancers, big merchants that have in-house developers that are doing customizations for them. Where we go next is there's lots of app stores on the internet.
Yeah.
There's Magento, BigCommerce, Twilio, Notion, Airtable, the Asana, Jira, ConnectGap, any of these popular APIs that you're building all these customizations around and just do it 10 times faster. I think that's
incredible.
The 2025 story, but 2024, we're still very focused on like finishing the core primitives. Again, we're trying to build 15 companies at once. And so, you know, we're still at that stage at the moment.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Are you guys looking on taking on funding? What does that look like?
We are capitalized pretty well. We raised $10 million from Sequoia, Bessemer, executives at Shopify, OpenAI, and a bunch of others. And we still have plenty of runway. So at the moment, no. I think our focus is like really finish the product.
How big are you guys as a company, not revenue wise, just people?
20.
20. That's incredible. Are you guys all in Ottawa? Are you guys all over the country? Or
No, we're awesome, in office company. We are not doing room up for now, at least.
For now, yeah.
That's awesome.
That's awesome, man. Awesome. It seems like to me a really cool platform. It's somebody that knows all of the words. Every single word that you've said makes sense. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's some things in there that I'm like, hey, yeah, it's a little bit above my pay grade in terms of what I need to know. But to me, it sounds,
I appreciate that.
Especially like small to like, because I know you're not necessarily targeting like the super small businesses. Like you see, I know you might, but like maybe it doesn't make sense for them or they don't have the need to, right? But you're small ish to medium to probably
even large,
small, large, companies are going to say, hey, I have, this is cumbersome, right? And all of this stuff, all of the potential tech debt that I can rack up, all of the time that I'm going to be spending on either hiring full-time resources or bringing in consultants or staff augmentation or whatever, just to do all this. It sounds not only more seamless, it sounds great for the business as a whole in terms of just knowledge transfer, disaster planning, right? All of those things to have it in one centralized location that, hey, if we want to continue to grow and scale, we put everything in here. We can tie in APIs that we need now, potential APIs that we need in the future. We can scale around Black Friday. We can decrease, you know, during the slower months, whatever it might be. And it's all seemingly very seamless to me. It sounds to me like an incredible business. Basically.
And I think the other nice thing about it is that, like, because we picked the Shopify ecosystem first for another reason as well, which is like e-commerce is serious. You know, it's like it's people's money. It's if you don't ship the order on time, you'll get a chargeback the next day and you'll be upset about it. And the software requirements for e-commerce are a little bit higher than, let's say, like speculative, like I'm building Tinder for dogs or, you know, the next big Snapchat thing that might catch lightning in a bottle and I'll be the next big one. Like, that's not the market we go after. We go after this like class of serious software. And so it's been really rewarding to see people make a bet on this product for such serious use cases. And to your point, who builds custom software? It's not the smallest brands. They can't even afford it. They can't afford to pay an agency to build them custom software. It's the medium and bigger brands. And for us, that's been very validating that even though the product's not done, we have enterprise e-commerce brands, like recognizable names, MeUndies, you know, Wall Street Journal, all these folks that like regularly use Gadget to power like what I would call mission critical software because you're dealing with people's money. And not like Tinder for dogs or, you know, speculative software of like, I built a blog on a weekend. Let me go write a blog post about it. This is very for-profit and serious. And so that's been validating as well that like people are building very real things.
That's awesome.
What When you guys entered the market, obviously you have a vast amount of experience. It seems like your co-founder does as well. So the legitimacy of you guys as a business, right? You have then the framework on top of that. It makes sense to everybody. Obviously getting money from Sequoia is not easy, right? They're very, very particular on who they invest with. What was the first conversations like after you guys, I know you said you spent those 6 months kind of creating the framework, kind of creating the idea for the business. When you started to have those conversations, was it an immediate like aha moment when you were talking to potential buyers of your software, or was there a lot of iteration that went through and what were some things that you guys had to overcome maybe at the beginning that you didn't think about maybe as you're building the business? And you could say, hey, Dan, we're the smartest people in the world. We never had any. And that's a good answer.
I would say, like, first of all, Gadget's a mission driven company. And so mm-hmm. we're allegiant to a belief. And that changes our behavior from some other entrepreneurs who are like, they're allegiant to an outcome. The outcome being let's IPO. You know, in my case, it's like I'm solving a very specific problem and that's what I want to be doing. And so there was a lot of figuring out and iterating within that space. We weren't like looking for another problem to solve. Frankly, this problem we struggled with for a very long time, but we just kept going because it was the only problem we care to solve. You know, there are other ones that we probably could have made a bit more money a bit faster on. And we just like, no, this is the only reason we're getting out of bed. I think the other thing to factor in is like when you've had a bit of success somewhere else, and Harry and I did work at Chuffa and we got a bit lucky there. Some things got to motivate you to get out of bed mm-hmm. and do it all again and pound 15 hours a day into work when you don't really have to. And for us, it's got to be a mission-driven company. And so we were allegiant to the outcome of the product from the beginning, and we were trying to find a path to it. I had lots of contacts in the industry just because of my background at Chuffy, and so I knew some people at Sequoia, a different part of Sequoia that I had helped with other stuff. And when the right time came, we asked for an intro to one of the seed stage investors. And periodically, once every like 6 months, we would just check in with them like, okay, this is where we're at. And none of it was us pitching them to invest in us. It was just giving them updates of like, you know, we're doing this now, we're thinking about it this way. And frankly, mostly just showing persistence, really. Yeah. Like, we're just going to keep working on this problem till the end of time, if we have to. And I think once we found a nugget of like a growth story, and that nugget was we took our mm-hmm. full stack tool and we connected it to the Shopify API, and that was our product-led growth strategy of like now every Shopify app developer gets the first month of work for free. Then we were like, okay, I think we have a compelling story. Let's go pitch these folks. Like, yes, there's a tool. Yes, there's a learning curve, but here's justification for the learning curve. We can make a month of development work disappear. We had a great demo, like functional demo. And this was 2021. You could raise a lot of money, a lot more money back then. So we just kind of raised. But I would say, yeah, we were in touch with Sequoia since 2020, on and off. And we pitched them late 2021, I think. So yeah, for a year and like 4 or 5 months, Harry and I were just kind of like thinking and slowly working on this thing on the side while we also had other jobs and did other things, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Well, cool. Mohammed, we will let you get back to baby and building a company at the same time. So there you go. Newborn and building a company, I'm sure.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for having me, guys. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely.
It was a pleasure, Mohammed. Going, buddy. Good luck. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
Man, I mean,
makes sense to me, right?
Yeah, it makes sense to me. I mean, I think this could be the next biggest thing in software engineering if it's pulled off. I mean, if he already has the interest of those folks, if they're already using the software on the e-commerce side of things, like that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, there's kind of there's probably a couple things that I think about for them. It's like one is, it makes sense to hundreds of thousands of potential businesses, right? Two, I know that a lot of businesses that would potentially use it aren't software development companies, and they don't necessarily know how to run software development, departments, right? So the more that you can potentially farm out to, not necessarily like just like automation, but like ease of use. And then like, I think that it's really, really important, especially in this day and age, to make sure that you have your bases covered, right? Like you have a disaster plan if somebody were to leave, or you know where everything is tied in. You're not hoping and praying that somebody actually like documented correctly, right? Because like we all know here and in the chat, like doesn't always happen, right? So then you're not, you know, fiddling around trying to find where's the API call for this, or trying to update this, or why isn't this working? And you start to think of all of the stuff that it could potentially do for you automatically. Like it just seems to me like a no-brainer. Now, I don't think it's for every company, but I think for as they continue to grow, like it makes so much sense. To me, at least. Absolutely. Like there's some things that we talk about on the show. I'm like, yeah, I can kind of see it. Like maybe.
Like for this, is one of those things.
No-brainer.
Like, I mean,
like you don't get money from OpenAI and Sequoia Capital and Shopify by having like an idea that's just like an idea. You get that because like there's a true marketplace for it. And maybe for them, it's going to be a matter of just having people understand, probably even tech departments understand like, hey, this is going to allow you to do your job better. And you might even have like a tussling between like tech leadership and tech employees and the like operations to say, hey, we can do this. And the tech employees are gonna be like, well, you're put me out of my job, right? But like you have to think about the nature of the business of like it allows you to do things seamlessly, effortlessly, and scale so quickly and easily that it seems to me like a no-brainer if it makes sense to your business.
Yep, absolutely cool.
Big fan of Muhammad though.
Yeah, big fan, Muhammad. Thank you again. Everybody go look up gadget.dev. And Dan, we got another good one next week, dude. So I'll see you next week.
Yes, funding is the proof in the pudding.
There you go.
Proof in the pudding.
I love it. I like pudding.
Big pudding fan.
Big pudding
vanilla. Yeah,
big vanilla. You know what was interesting about pudding? I know we're going off the rails here. Yeah. But when Jackie and I were in Phoenix, they loved butterscotch pudding in Phoenix. Everywhere in Phoenix, they had butterscotch pudding on the menu.
I don't know when the last time I had pudding was. I'm a big banana pudding fan.
I like banana pudding.
But I don't know when the last time it's been, outside of going to that one barbecue place that I like, Peg Leg Porker, in Nashville. Yep. I don't know the last time I had pudding was. So I've maybe had it twice in the last probably two decades. I feel like that's a missing part of my heart right now.
Yep. Pudding.
I try to find some for lunch. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I may actually.
That's a great conversation. We're going off the rails here.
Yeah. Great conversation. Marilyn. Y'all have a good one. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.